Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about hate culture. Today we're talking about hating. Today we're talking about everything under the sun that is to do with hate, hate, hate. Now, when somebody says the word hate, right? Automatically, I'm not jumping to the dictionary definition. I'm thinking about a deep dislike. A deep dislike, so much so that you are willing to do anything in your power to stop this thing that you dislike. To badmouth it, to beat it, to hide it, to bury it, to just not have it in your midst. That's what I think hate is. Now, what happens when we hate people? So usually what happens, in my understanding, when we hate people is that we discourage them, we break them down, we don't want to fraternize with them, we don't want anything to do with these people that we hate. And yet, so many people can tell you that I don't hate anybody. Everybody is a saint out here. Everybody is a saint. I don't hate anybody. I just do me. I just go on with my life. But you're pulling your face when somebody enters the room, sis. You're breaking the person down when they say, I just got myself this beautiful new dress. Like, that dress doesn't look good on you. What is that? Now, the reason I want to talk about hate culture is because I feel that many of us are living within it. I feel that many of us are so dipped in it. We are stenched in it. It's like a deep soak here when it comes to us and hate and the culture of hate. Now, when we talk about the culture of hate, right? It's not just us. It's everywhere. You know, a child is not born racist. You know that, right? You know that, like, there's no KKK child that's just jumping out of the womb and he's like, ooh, I don't like is it minorities? I don't know. Yeah, I don't like a certain group of people. There's nobody that jumps out of the womb and just dislikes anything because it's a canvas, right? It's a clear canvas that a child gets and we are all awarded that opportunity. And then society. Society gives us a little glimpse of something and we choose whether we're going to like it, dislike it, or we're going to tolerate it or be patient with it or not be patient with it and discard it altogether. So when we're talking about hate culture, we're talking about a culture that is set in attitudes, values, and beliefs, and even sometimes behaviors, shared by a group of people, communicated from one generation to the next via language and some other forms of education or communication. So what does this mean? This means like it's a behavior that is taught. It's a value that is taught. It's an attitude that it's taught and it is now shared amongst whoever is the leader. So if me, the matriarch, I'm here and I'm advocating for love, right? I've got the attitude of love and I've got the values of love and I've got the beliefs of love and the behavior of love, right? Then you guys as the group, as the community, as part of the community that we are having here, then you will most probably, it will rub off on you. And when it does rub off on you, you don't see it coming. It just happens. You just become kinder. You just become nicer. You just become more tolerant. You just become more patient. You just become love. You become the embodiment of love because it's where you come from, right? Clear canvas. And then here, I'm now giving you all these great values and great beliefs and great, right? And hate is a four-letter word. It's like H-A-T-E, and that's it. You guys thought I was going to continue. Hate is a four-letter word that means the same thing across the globe. In every culture, you will find hate against one thing or another. There are in-groups and out-groups. The in-groups are accepted. The out-groups are pushed away. So the in-groups are most the cool kids. So when we look at now this broad spectrum, yeah, English is winning. Yeah, tonight English is winning because I spent the whole day speaking Oshintonga. Please excuse me, guys. It takes a while for me to reboot back to English. So, basically there are in groups and out groups of every society and every community, right? A community can be a clique within a house. It can be a house within a neighborhood. It can be a neighborhood within a city. It can be a city within a country. It can be anywhere. Right. So they are in groups and they are out groups. The in groups are usually the ones that are in. We are at the table. We are eating the cake, you know, Super Youth League. Yeah. Those kind of people in people. And then you guys that are part of the youth league, Mara, you guys don't never get positions. You are there from the beginning of your youth until the end of your youth. Nobody even knows your name. Out group. You guys are the out group. You guys, it's more like we like having your number here, but you're not valuable. I'm just saying. So it is a tragedy that we can't be inclusive, but unfortunately, this is what it is. So while the out groups are targeted for attacks, right? They are usually attacked in various ways depending on what little society this is. So if we are having the nerd society, picture this. Everybody, every single person that you can think of, that is anybody at your university, right? Everybody is hella smart. And then you guys have like this 1% that is not as smart as everybody else. It's not that you're dumb. You're just in the ranges of 80 and everybody is in the ranges of 99.999. They could have just twisted the answer a little bit and then they would have been 100 and everybody's in that group, but you're not stupid. You're just not as smart as other people. You just, didn't get the answers as fast or, as other people, or something just happened that day that made you flunk your test. And now you are part of the out group because this clique here is hella smart and they are walking around the world like they own it because, you know, you don't know nothing. So you are targeted by sitting in class and, somebody would say, like specifically towards you and say that, yeah, the paper is white, but Elizabeth wouldn't know that because, you know, she's colorblind or whatever, or she doesn't know colors, you know, and it feels like personal attack upon personal attack or attack upon attack upon attack. And usually the out group is targeted for any kind of hatred that is pleasurable to the ones that are busy hating. Now, when we think of bullies, right, we think that it is this person that is just picking on other people for no reason and they're just mean and that's exactly what it is. But where does it come from? There has to be something that happened or something that they saw or an attitude or a behavior or a value that was bestowed upon them. And after that, Oshiri, things are just happening the way they're happening. So they become the bully and you become the prey. It's like you are the springbok and they are the lions and you are the springbok in every single story. Even when you move from one place to another, you are still a springbok, babe. Even when you move from one place to another, still a springbok. It seems like you're always just a springbok. So hate groups are a, you know, hate groups, right? When we talk about hate groups, né, I can honestly say that most people don't know that they are part of hate groups. Most people don't know that they are hateful. Most people don't know that what they are doing is formulating a culture of hate, and they don't see it because most people are hurt themselves. Most people are damaged themselves. Most people are coming from bad, bad places. Most people, they are not who they are supposed to be because of where they come from, what they've seen, what they didn't see, what they experienced, and so forth. Like I said, you know, I'm a retired bully. You know, I'm a retired bully. I mean, Bullies Anonymous, you know, where we are like just, you know, today I almost bullied somebody, but I chose not to. bully anybody. So then everybody claps and like, well done, Elizabeth. You know, you can do it. Keep going. And that's basically the life that I want to live, because I want to be a nice person. So now when we are asked, what type of person are you? Most of us don't say that we are hateful. Most of us don't say that we are vengeful. Most people don't say anything negative about themselves. They tend to romanticize any behavior about themselves, right? This could be bad, this could be good, but they romanticize everything to make it seem stern. And that is why you can find within the hate groups or within the hate culture, there's things that mushroom under it, like rape culture, for example. Rape culture is a culture where we justify rape, or we justify rape, and we make it seem, we minimize it, and we make it seem less dangerous, less catastrophic, less of everything, and we basically just gaslight the whole world and make it seem like it's absolutely okay. But you say that it's not okay. Your words, they say it's not okay, but your actions speak louder than words. And the reason that I'm talking about hate culture today is because so many of us are part of a culture that we don't even know that we are part of. I want to ask you guys, when you guys go on our socials, when you guys go on our socials and you see our reporters, you know, our journalists, and they write beautiful articles, not only about economics and finances and the land reform, not only those ones, when we write real stories about real people on the ground and express their experiences to the best of our abilities, right? What happens when, before you text or before you comment, what happens? I just want to know if before you comment, what happens to you for you to write the things that you write? You see, we can be talking about, there was a case that was clear, right? There was a case that was clear in this country, né? And there are many cases that are actually clear, but this one touched my heart because I'm like, this makes sense. I mean, this is absolutely okay. So this lady, they work for the police, right? They work for the police. They go to training and then they start working, and then they are having a separate department. And you know, there's a chain of command, right? And in the chain of command, there's somebody that is your warrant, sergeant, you know, there are those types of ranks inside there. And then obviously, they always say that it is better to, if you're in law enforcement, it's better to have a relationship with somebody else that is also in law enforcement, because you guys will have a stern understanding of each other better. Because there won't be conflict when you go to work at 4 a.m. or you come back from work at 10 a.m. because the person that you are married to understands that there are shifts at work, and they understand what it takes to be an officer. They understand what it is, you know, to run around after suspects. We don't call them criminals. We call suspects, because they're innocent until proven guilty, right? To bring people to the law. So I'm guessing, this is just me guessing, you know, I'm just riding with it. So I'm guessing this is why these two people started talking and having conversations, right? They started talking and having conversations, and they just, you know, they saw that they like each other to some degree, which maybe we can kick it, boo thing. Maybe we can. Maybe we can take this a little further. And through the talking phase, it eventually came to the point where, would you like to Netflix and chill? Now, Netflix and chill, in the underworld, right? Not for somebody that is oblivious, but in the underworld, Netflix and chills means basically that you're going to come over. I'm going to put on a movie. It might be a movie that you really, really want to watch, and we'll most probably watch it at some point. But Netflix and chills means that you're coming over. I'm going to feed you and I'm going to put on a movie. We're going to pretend like we're going to be watching it for a little while. And then one thing will lead to will being the key word here, will lead to another. And then bang, bang, shabam, eh? Coitus galore. That's what happens. So when somebody says, come over for Netflix and chill, that means it's supposed to be, in their mind, it is supposed to be a coitus activity. But it's not everybody that knows this. And just because you know something doesn't mean that the next person knows something. And even if they did, people are allowed to change their mind. So Mughal gets into her car and, girl, we're going to Netflix and chill with this guy that I've been talking to for a while. We are talking a little bit, spinning it off a little. We are flirting here and there. And there's most nothing better than office romance at the beginning. Office romance. It doesn't end well. In other fields, we can say don't date colleagues. Guys, don't date colleagues, but maybe in law enforcement, it should be a little bit more different because, I guess you guys are, you guys run, you guys shoot guns. You have a lot in common, very much shoot suspects. Yeah, a lot in common. So they start their little office romance and they start, talking and it gradually goes to the point where the visit is overdue. So it's Netflix and chill. The invitation is for Netflix and chill. Now me, Mughal, gets into her car and she's like, okay, so we are going to his place, right? Thereby, was it Rocket Rest? Mm-hmm. We're going to his place and we're going to do what? We're going to do Netflix and chill or whatever she had in mind. But then she went, right? She went and they were kicking it. So they were kicking it for a while. And, you know how Netflix and chill happens most. Netflix and chill, you guys really honestly just, you guys sit for a while, then you guys eat, and then you guys want to put on a movie, and then one person's arm goes over your arm, and then one person's leg goes over the leg, and then we start feeling cold, even if it's December. We start feeling cold and less cover, and then all of a sudden it's like, why are you breathing so close to me? It's like, ah, no, I just like the smell of your perfume. You're like, oh, daddy. It's like, Netsu. So I'm guessing this is what is about to go down. And she's like, you know what? Like, sometimes we get into sometimes, right? The chemistry that we have from afar is not the chemistry that we have in person. So you are thinking that, no, man, the chemistry that we have over the phone must be the chemistry that we have in person also. But think about it. Sometimes I am mesmerized by what you write and what you say and how you sound, but I'm not actually mesmerized by you. And when I get to stand in the same place with you for a long enough time, I start to notice little things about you that I actually don't like. It's like you seeing me on the internet the whole time. And then when you come close to me, you realize that I've got a personal hygiene problem. Like, how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to deal with me having a personal hygiene problem? Because that one, no matter what and no matter who you are, there's no way I will take that advice from the other gender. Which I have, ma'am. You're not my lover. You're just the person that I'm talking to. We all have off switches and on switches, right? We all have this physical attraction. And we all have things that are just a no-go zone for us. So this is what happened to Mughal. Now, Mughal is chilling there for a while and they are kicking it and there are a few drinks here and there and they are chilling, So now it's time to, get down and dirty. And she's like, you know what? It's getting a little late. It's getting a little late and, I should get going. Oh, I was like, oh, okay, you should get going. Like, okay. No, you can go like after 20 minutes. I think at this point, he was probably just, he read the room also, Mughal is really not feeling him like that. And I really don't, with the way the story ends, I don't blame her for getting cold feet. I don't blame her for not being, you know, having that chemistry, what. I don't blame her. Because imagine you see somebody, you know, uniform has a tendency, né, of making somebody look like what they are not. To be honest, there's nothing more sexier than a person that is wearing the correctional uniform, guys. Woo! Did you see the other lady that was dancing in her correctional uniform? Hi, guys. Yeah? Even I would smash. I'm like, what? You look amazing. You look appetizing. You look like a snack. I like that. There's just something that is attractive there when it comes to, you know. And then also, there's something attractive about your rank. There's something attractive about how you boss up and how you want to handle this and how you want to make something of yourself. There's something attractive about your ambition, please. Eh? It's just the same way as if, guys, if, what is this guy? The Sheik. If the Sheik comes inside here, of these oil countries. If the Sheik comes inside here with his entourage, you might not be attracted to Arab guys. You might not be attracted to people like that. But there's just something that is very attractive there. Mkucha, he's the king, Sheik, you know? And you, when you talk about their wealth of trillions and the fact that he's running it, and it's not a gold digger thing. It's also just, being attracted to somebody that knows how to wield power, being attracted to somebody that knows how to delegate, being attracted to somebody that is a great and phenomenal leader, being attracted to somebody that is brilliant and smart, being attracted to somebody that calls the shots, guys. It's not even a money thing. It's just the fact that this person calls the shots. This person comes into the this person comes into the office, right? And everybody has to stand up. Why? Because it's him. Ha! You know, want that. You want it, man. Don't lie. We all want those kinds of things, but, eh? So, there's something about that imagination of yours. It paints a perfect life where you are the wife of this person and you are living your life and it's amazing. And, oh, daddy, you know, like, oh, the wife of commander or the wife of sergeant or the wife of, I don't know, the highest rank. Okay. So detective, or investigator, or, you know, it's like decorated officer, what. There's a hierarchy, you know, and there is something attractive about it. It's just the same as the way you fantasize about how Beyonce's hair must smell. You know, you think of her as the embodiment of beautiful. Like, if you are looking for a hun, she must come close to that, you know, and because you see something attractive in her. Now, when Beyonce finally gets in your bed, and Beyonce has a personal hygiene problem, and Beyonce's house is dirty, and then Beyonce also, oh, Hanunai, he's like, she's like a weird drunk, like those women, like that. Chuplak salfal. So I'm guessing that this is what happened, right? Because I'm guessing this is what happened. So vele, brur. So she decides that, okay, so I'm gonna get going soon, you know? So they still continue. Then the guy leaves and goes out a little bit. And then he's like, no, I'm coming now. Give me 2 minutes or 3 minutes or so. And I think it was like, a little bit dark. So she was like, no, this, the neighborhood is not really safe. Like, just move my car a little bit closer to where I can see it. Then he moves her car and then he blocks her with his car. So if you don't drive, blocking with a car means that you are landlocked like Zimbabwe. There's no ocean. So there's no getaway. So he blocks her in and then he comes back into the place and then they continue like chilling and drinking and just having fun. Basically, it's not even to say that it was a drinking spree. It was most probably just those couple of drinks that you guys are having to get to know each other, because now you guys have been talking, you guys have been flirting. Now it's the part where you're like, so what are you into? And, you know, let's seal it. Let's solidify it. It's those type of encounters, right? Of which I also don't think that it's a very wise idea. I don't think that dates first dates should be had at strangers' places. Don't go to strangers' houses to go and apparently meet them for the first time because they might be rapists, okay? All right. Cool. So, it's time to go. And Madame is like, okay, cool. So I'm going. And then he's like, okay, cool. And then she grabs her car keys and then she goes. And now she gets into the car and then, oh, she gets to the car and then she notices that man's blocked her in. And then it starts raining. Yeah, this amp. Then it starts raining. And it's a thing of, oh, now it's raining. I'm blocked in. Let me go inside to go and talk to Mr. West. She gets inside there. Mr. West is pretending to be sleeping. So Mr. West is sleeping. Vati kwatuaga. Vati he slap. Vati he was just so weak on the liquor that he fell asleep instantly in those 2 minutes that I went outside. Cause you can't stay that long outside because it's raining most. Eh? So you were running to the car hoping that you just get in and then you get out. Not even being escorted. I mean. You see, chemistry was not there. Like, nobody escorted you, girl. Like, chemistry was not there. So, fine. She goes back into the house and Mans is sleeping. So, she anticipates, no, like, wake up, colleague. Yes, that's colleague. Like, because this is clearly not romantic anymore. It's like, colleague, get up. Colleague, apparent kwa sakanai. Like, now it's just, drunk and jayahunina. But I also know that that one is a tactic. I believe that many guys have used that tactic of pretending to be sleeping because apparently they drink too much to lure you into sleeping at their places. There are so many dirty tricks. Yeah. Dirty tricks that guys play. So.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Eagle FM. Let's.
Dirty. So this was the tactic that Mans played. You know, Mans played the I'm sleeping card and don't wake me card and it's not nice here card. So it is what it is. So she opted to say that, oh, you know what? I'm just going to keep trying. I'm not going to leave this story. I'm going to keep trying until the wheels fall off. So please wake up. Please wake up. Please wake up. This is Mans now being woken and he's not just waking up. He's really just quiet and he's sleeping. What? Okay. Cool beans. Cool bananas. He's sleeping. I also. No problem. Then after a while, she's sitting up and she's waiting. She's waiting for the rain to shake her a little bit. And she opts to look for the keys and she doesn't find the keys. Guess what? Cause Mans most probably poked them and chuffed them. Okay. So she finally gets him to wake up like after like an hour. Wake up, brah. Like, what is this? Like, why are you trying to do this? And then he's like, yeah, but how can you want to go home? How can you want to go home when you know exactly what Netflix and chill means? And she's like, what does Netflix and chill mean? Netflix and chill means that we're going to come and have quitters. She's like, no. It's my body. I can choose who I'm going to have coitus with and who I'm not going to have coitus with. Now, this is why I'm talking about hate culture. That is facts. You know, I can choose who I want to have coitus with and who I don't want to have coitus with. I can choose when I want to have coitus and when I don't want to have coitus. You understand that? It's my body. It is my right. And his argument is that, then why did you come here? So they're bickering a little bit about this and a little bit about that. And then he just closes the door, you know, closes the door and strong arms her and purukutupa. And it's now forceful. And he rapes her, you know, colleague rapes her. Now, she's, now there's the part, right? Where this is the ordeal that happened. Now a normal person that understands other human beings, you would listen to the story until the very end and, you would basically understand because you know that there's just certain situations that, that your mind doesn't give you, especially when you're in law enforcement. When you're in any profession, to be honest with you, when you're in any profession, you never think in your life, right, that you would ever be caught in the position of needing the assistance that you give as a service provider, right? So, it's only mechanics and cashiers. They always expect to be in a position of getting the service from somebody. So mechanics, they don't live their lives thinking that my car will never break down. They're always ready for my car will break down. So they live in breakdown mode. That's why you find that mechanics, they walk around with tools, they walk around with overalls, like the booth has a section and it's not just for clients. It's really honestly for them. Because a mechanic, when the tire bursts on the road, they just change it. When the gear, what, they just go and look at the car and they know exactly what's wrong with it and then they fix it. You understand? So when a doctor gets sick, right? They always also want to medicate themselves. They never think that they're ever going to be in a position where they're going to need another doctor. They don't think like that. Because most things that we can do, and even if they are faced with something else, imagine a surgeon, right? A surgeon needing surgery. Do you think that the surgeon will just be there sitting in the hospital bed and then just listening to the doctor when the doctor comes and tells them what's wrong with them and what they're going to do? No. What happens is that when the doctor leaves and leaves their chart, the surgeon goes through the chart, right? And goes and read. It's not really undermining other people's profession. It's really just within the trade. It is what it is. So they will go and read the chart and then they will go and read and see what the surgeon is going to do. And then they'll basically get second opinions, or they would dispute it, or they would say that, yes, you can do this, but also do this. It's more of a control thing. They want to be in control of how you surgery them. Yeah. So a psychologist also. Psychologist feels in their body, which I think I'm just a little depressed. I'm just going to see if, especially those ones that work at state. I'm saying people that work in places where things are there in abundance. They don't really go the route of doing it correctly. They go the route of just, they already know what's wrong with them. So they already know what to take. So it is okay. You know, so like a psychiatrist would be like, I'm feeling a little anxious. I think I have an adjustment disorder. I'm just going to, you know, take these two to calm myself and see how I feel before I go to the doctor. You know, it's just those little things, just like you, who'd like, oh, you know, my nails are dirty. Then you, as a nail tech, you just do them. It is what it is. You don't go to another nail tech to go and do your nails. You don't go to, you, nobody does your nails. You just do your nails yourself. You understand? So this is the same thing. Oh, going back to our story. This is the same thing about being in a situation, right? We often think that for people that have attended to this type of crime so much, they understand why certain things don't happen and they understand how to not judge. But us on the outside, right? We are first to ask questions like, why didn't she scream? Now, in what universe as a person, ne? I'm asking you respectfully, as a person, in what universe, right? What gives you the authority and the right, right? To assume that I didn't scream when somebody was violating? Or what gives you the right and the authority to assume that I did not scream? And whether I screamed or I did not scream, does that play a role in what had happened to me? Does that make what had happened to me more correct because I didn't do this thing that you are asking why I didn't do it? You know, because you guys are hateful. These articles are beautifully written, and they are written by reporters, journalists that really go and seek for the information and really read through the information, understand. Sometimes they go to court as well. Sometimes they go to like Anacleta, you know. She goes to on the ground. She knows she's there deep in Kavango West, Kavango East. She's deep inside there listening to these stories. So she's sitting in uncomfortable places, and she gets the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth according to the person, right? And you ask questions like, yeah, why didn't you scream when he started violating you? Don't we think that you saying that is a belief, it is a value, it is a behavior that represents, or attitude that represents, the hate culture that we are talking about? Because what would you think? Like, don't you think that I've asked myself that question? Don't you think that I've asked myself that question? And I also don't know why I didn't. But don't you think that I'll come and read your comment? Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with you?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me. Are you listening?
Yeah. No, I wasn't listening. I just want to say I miss you though.
I miss you too, baby Joe.
Yeah.
Are you doing good in school?
Yes, I am. Just because of you though.
Ne?
Yeah.
I'm the best.
You really did slap me back to reality.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're back to reality. That's wonderful. Yeah. Reality is a beautiful thing.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
So what's up?
We're talking about hate culture.
Hate culture?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what do you think hate culture is?
Late culture.
Hate utonde, hate.
Ogutonda.
Yeah, like hate culture.
I haven't really thought about it though.
Do you hate anything or anyone? Is there anything in the world that you hate?
I mean, there are a lot of things that
like
I hate.
What? And why are there so many? Talk to me.
So should I just tell you everything that I hate?
Yeah, tell me about the things that you hate. Why do you hate them? What do you hate?
Okay. That would be a topic for another day, because my credit won't finish and I don't want to finish it like that. But...
Oh, okay. How do you want to finish it?
I mean, if I had credit and then we could...
Me, I don't know what you are saying. I cannot hear you. Speak English. How? I tried.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think no. Kaninane o awe ku pufisa rerare rangaka.
Ngeshwari wa harara ndora.
Ya ngeshwa awe nda harara kwa andu kundwara session ndeku misinya naina ye.
Mhm.
Ya pa sene o skrumena na pa mushanga mwangai. Geen
probleem nie, dus no probleem.
Okay.
Ewa. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I love you.
I love me too.
Oh, you love yourself, huh? Narcissist. Narcissist. Yeah, but it's okay. It's okay. I love the fact that you love you also.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I hope school is going good, and I hope that you are in a good space.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to pass. Yeah, I want you to do well. I want you to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I also want you to send my money from the first salary.
Oh.
I want my money. You people think that I'm just grooming you people for yourself or what?
Yeah.
No! Me, I want my money. Eh? She don't pay her first salary. Eh?
Yeah.
I want my money. When you get awards, you must mention my name. You must go and say, if it wasn't for Matriarch, this award wouldn't be put. I want my credit waste. You want my flowers. Yes. Ewa, come. Ciao, ciao. Ewa. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that you're out there at home thinking, but it's Wednesday, me matriarch. It's Wednesday, eh? It's Wednesday. I'm waiting for you guys. You can still come through and give us the questions and the conversations that you guys would like to talk about, because Wednesday is your day. I do understand. Maramina, me, I'm not going to be waiting for you guys the whole time like this. No. Me, I'm going to continue with my life. Aluta continuous ek. You understand? And this is what I wanted to talk about. So, Vele. The number in studio, sorry guys, the number in studio is 083-288-401. 083-288-401. You guys can call in and you guys can contribute to what I'm talking about, or you guys can also, you know, spark your own fire there on the side. Today you're allowed to have Oshinyanga within my Oshinyanga. It's all good. It's okay. Maybe use your fire's gonna be purple. It's okay. So now, yeah, we were talking about the part where somebody would say something. So the article is written there, and then they go and read through it. And then somebody will come there and go and say, yeah, but why didn't she scream? And then we, the same people, we ignore this, you know, because like we understand why people scream and they don't scream. So it's such a messed up situation. It's like me asking, why didn't you cry when your mother died? How? Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing?
You?
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Are you listening to our conversation today?
I've just been in email now.
Oh, we are talking about hate culture. Let me ask you, Ne. Why do you know how you go and read an article like out on one of our social media platforms, right? And maybe the article is about rape, for example. Why do people go under the article to comment and ask questions like, why didn't you scream? If it was really rape, why didn't you scream?
For the people that they know, who they will type of things, they threaten people, other things.
Mm-hmm.
And like the person is not like some of the people, they might scream, but now there's nobody that is going to rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, there's no one that is going to be missing. Like the people, they will just say that that person just maybe listening to watching a movie that's so scary.
Mm.
Or something like this.
But it's not really the activity that I'm talking about. I'm talking about you as a person that is at your house, ne? Scrolling the internet, and then you read this article about a young woman that got raped. Why would you go onto the internet and go and say something like, yeah, what was she wearing? Or why did she scream? Or why didn't she scream? Or what was she doing there? Like, is it because you don't understand the crime that has been committed or the crime that somebody is being accused of? Or is it because the internet is a fun place? Or is it because you are really just, you're just bad?
Most of the cases is, the person, some of the times you might say, like, most of the people, they might say that, why did this thing? Maybe the person, was now feeling comfortable, what was happening to him.
Okay. But I'm asking about you people that go and comment things like that. Like, what is wrong with the people? I mean, I understand the crime. I understand what is happening there. I understand the accusations. I understand that part. But me, I'm talking about you that is at your house right now. And you are going through the internet and then you stumble upon this article. There, you are going onto the article and you go and comment with your name, your whole profile there. You go and comment, she deserves it because what is she doing at guys' houses? Like, is it because you don't understand rape or you don't understand the deepness of it, the pain in it? Or is it because you are really just like that? You really just believe that people can harm other people. You just hate. You have so much hate in you. Or is it maybe because you are not clever? What? Yeah. Yeah, oh, okay. Mara, ngwengu topurane oshima shachangao. Do you know that I can go somewhere and I can change my mind? Or am I not allowed to change my mind as a person when I go outside?
You are allowed to change your mind, but not this.
Eh.
Why didn't you go to the place that you're supposed to go?
I went there because I was invited. Okay, so you are basically saying that you are also part of the group that goes there and go and say, Kucha, what did you go and look for there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like,
Oh, okay. I caught a live one, ladies and gentlemen. I caught a live one here. Okay. So you really, like, that's just how you think. So what about me that is sitting in my house? And people come into my house and then they come and do something like this to me. And then you go and comment there, what was I wearing?
I don't really have ways of this question that you are now. This question that you did.
Is it because there is a certain belief that you guys have, Kucha, if women go to guys' houses, this is what you are expecting? Because you are also asking questions like, yeah, what did you go and look for there?
Like, sometimes you don't know what you did get called you for.
Eh. And so what? Now just because I don't know what this guy called me for, does that mean that I deserve for something like that to happen to me?
The person might say that I surprised you, but you don't know what type of surprise is there. Then for you not to go to the certain place where the person called you. You're going to realize that the person maybe is going to be something. Maybe the person is going to have you something.
And then you are going to come in, Kucha, yeah? What did you go and look for there?
What I will not do on social media.
I know it's social media. I'm asking you guys because you guys are very strong when you're on the other side of your phone most. You guys can even insult people's mothers on social media and you don't care because you think that you are untouchable because of the cell phone most. So now my question is, if your sister went to go and visit, ne? No, not even to go and visit. Your sister went to go and get papers. Papers from the hostel. In this other room. The papers were there. The room belongs to the Kandeshi. So you, your sister, goes there, and then she finds a dude there. So when she's quickly grabbing the papers, the guy closes the door and he does something like that to her. Will you also ask your sister, why wakatara ko shike ono? Or is it only for other people's sisters?
Yeah. But other people's sisters, but I'll do, but no.
But why do you think like that? Where do you think it comes from? Why do you think like that?
Let me ask you one thing about that. Some of the guys cannot control their women. That's why.
But why do you think, like you understand that some guys can't control their hormones? We don't think that some guys can't control their hormones. We assume you guys are great people. We assume that you are just people like us. Because us, we don't go around most now violating anybody to the point of a pandemic like you guys. So now my question is, where do you get it from? Why do you think like that?
But look, I'm not out of words, man.
I'm here. I'm here. Would you have more sympathy if it was your daughter or your mom?
I think it would be now more serious. I'm not going to put more. I'm not going to do any comments.
Why don't now? So these comments are basically just for other people's relatives, not for your own relatives. It's not the way you think. It's just other people must just receive backlash from you, just like that, simply because they are not your relatives.
Yeah, it's just like
having fun on the internet.
Fun.
On the internet. Now, why are you guys choosing to have fun with people's life stories? Jeke Amarimba is not funny anymore, what? That guy cannot be out of fashion, man. As we are still watching him. He even has like a lie now. He started very thin. Oh, they are paying off money, Bobo. They are paying off, really. Okay. So basically, it's just talking.
Yeah, it's just about data.
So you guys are bullies for no reason. You guys are just bullying other people's kids for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just part of life to be bullied by other people that bully.
Oh, okay. So you guys are just returning the hate that you guys received from others also?
Yeah.
That is a very honest answer. I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome. Hey, we're talking about hate culture, guys. We're talking about hate culture. Me, I'm asking that little comment that you go and put there under the articles, right? The article that is written, you guys go and put there, you guys go and ask questions or put statements, that make you guys just seem so not clever. Right? And this is me being nice because this is radio. And we are not just allowed to put out degrading terms. So you are just, I look at these comments and I'm like, but that's not clever to say. That's not great to say. The worst part is that, certain things that you comment there, you don't know who follows platforms. You know, this is a platform like Eagle FM. You know, this is a big platform. This is a platform where everyone is there, including the people that go and vet you. So now you don't understand why nobody has called you back for interviews or even just be shortlisted. No one. You are dropping CVs left, right, and center. It's been 10 years. And you don't understand why nobody's calling you back. But then you have this life of yours on the internet, ne? And You think, people think that they are untouchable. People think that we don't know how to find you because you are on the internet with a fake name. You think we don't know how to find you. But how do stalkers, how does your girlfriend find out about your other girlfriends? If it's not through the same social media that you're having, yeah, how does your boyfriend find out about your other boyfriends? If it's not through the same social media, whether you're friends or you're not friends, whether you have 10 profiles or not. Now you're going to comment there and then this is what you say. Like, I personally, I wouldn't hire you if your train of thought, right, is what was she doing there? Why did she go there? Eh? Or why didn't she scream? You know? It could just show me that you really, you really don't understand human rights. Like human rights, human beings have the right to do whatever they want. And whatever they want also includes declining sexual advances, declining coitus, declining, changing. We have the right to change our minds last minute because it is our body. Nobody can own your body. So the article is written, it's there. And then this guy violates her. Nah? This is colleague now. Violates her. And it's violation. So we are not going to go into detail of what kind of violation it is, because then the question of brutality also comes in, because people will say things like, yeah, but she was not beaten. Like, when I read these comments, ne, I'm so shocked that these are the same people, ne, that I call myself partners in citizenship. Partners in nationality. These are my fellow Namibians. And this is what is coming out of my fellow Namibians' mouth. And it, I don't know if I'm shocked or angry, but the previous caller, you know, the previous caller said something straight here and said that, yeah, sometimes you're just talking from the other side of the internet because you're not serious with what you're saying. Sometimes you just want to stir up a conversation or an argument on the internet so you have something to do all day. And I understand that. I get that because, sometimes when I'm emotional, right, and I don't have an outlet, I also just I write something that I know would spark an argument instantly. And that argument is the one that I'm going to be indulging with or indulging in for the rest of the day. So I'm going to be fighting with the people on the internet and judging them, you know. Sometimes we can go far and then we can even screenshot, you know, like your profile and stuff and then put it there and we look for facts. It's like a fun activity, but we don't do those fun activities on the account of somebody else's negative experience. Do we? Don't we think that attitude that we have and these words that we have, right, they stem from somewhere? Because we are saying, culture is a set of attitudes, values, beliefs, and behaviors. So hate culture is a set of hateful attitudes, hateful values, hateful beliefs, and hateful behaviors shared by a group of people. So this group of people is set with hate attitude, hate values, hate beliefs, and hate behaviors. Right? Because that's what culture is. That's what hate culture is. Because the behavior of laughing at somebody's pain or justifying why someone hurt another person, I feel like that's cold. Braji, I feel like that's cold. That's something else, man. That is dealing with the devil, dealing with the demons inside. It's intense, that one. I believe that there's a level of intensity when it comes to that one. It's so deep. So yeah, colleague finishes whatever he thought he was doing, because in his head, he thinks that this is consensual coitus. And I don't understand how you can be law enforcement, right? And go against the oath and violate another person in that nature. Or violate that other, violate another person. So eventually, he just better gives the keys. She pulls out the other car. She drives her car out and then she goes home. And when she goes home, she doesn't go like immediately to the police station. She doesn't go immediately to the police station because there's this thing of grasping. So when we are in certain professions and things happen to us of this nature, imagine in a week you are dealing with at least, in this country, at least 5 to 20 sexual violation cases, right? Imagine that that's your life and that's your reality. And one would think you would know better, right? You would know exactly what to do. That first of all, you go to the police station, then you go to the hospital, and then they're going to do a rape kit, and then prep, and then morning after pill, and then you assume, right, that this is what what somebody in a position of law enforcement would do. But the truth is that before we are journalists, before we are caterers, before we are mothers, before we are anything, right? Before we are anything professional, we are also one human. We are human beings. So there's just something human that comes in us where we don't do the protocol that is observed. We just have a human experience. It's like finding a doctor that was stabbed, right? In his house. A doctor knows what to do. And doctors always, no matter what, there's no doctor in this world that doesn't have a first aid kit that has, right? Numbing or anesthetic or whatever to numb the pain. And there's no doctor that doesn't have stitches things. But you will read the article and hear that the doctor bled out after waiting for the paramedics, or the doctor died, you know, or the doctor was taken to the hospital bleeding severely. Is it because they don't have stitches equipment? No, they have stitches equipment. Now, somebody from this country will go onto that article that is talking about a doctor that was stabbed in the house and died. They will go onto that comment section and comment there, why didn't they just stitch themselves up? You know, why didn't they just put their hand back? Because they are doctors. But the doctor is not thinking of, oh my goodness, a robber came in and stabbed me. So I must go to the medicine cabinet and I must go and get some alcohol to sterilize the wound. And I must get stitches and a syringe. And a doctor is not thinking like that. Because before they are doctors, they are humans. Like, your life just flashed before your eyes. Something bad just happened to you. Excuse me, right? If we don't live up to your expectations of the profession. So you find that people would go there and comment like, why did she take so long to report the case? But yet, right, with our Rape Act, ne, you can report a rape that happened to you 20 years ago. So you people are thinking like, yeah, but why are all these successful people getting in trouble when they become successful? Because anything that is to deal with with these two, like the two genders in themselves, right? You find that, there's a lot that is said. We recently had a case, allegedly, apparently, that of a former minister that had sexually violated an ex. And now the ex had finally come out, you know, to say that no, she put up a case. She did what? She did what? And part of the comment section is like, yeah, why did she take so long? You know, I want to chop pension money. But the truth is that there's no time limit except the 20 years mark, right? 20 years, because after 20 years, we assume that at this point, you don't want justice per se. It's not legal anymore. It's more of, if you're going to get even, it's a matter of a conversation with this person. You know, it's a matter of saying it to another person, because this is what this person did to me, you know, and maybe you forgive them, maybe you don't, but the space is open. The space is open for you to take your time to heal, because it doesn't help, right? You jump straight into the swing of things, but you were traumatized, and the way you were traumatized, right, has caused you to go into a state where now you can't leave your house because of something that has happened, right? And you really just can't leave your house. And then now you have to battle this new disease that you found, this disease of not wanting to get out of the house, like anxiety, so much anxiety, like it's a phobia now, where you can't get out of your house because you're just afraid that somebody's going to sexually violate you outside, you know, and these things happen. So now you are dealing with this for like a year until you are going to psychologists, psychiatrists, you are seeing social workers, you are seeing therapists, you are doing all the self-care and self-help routines so that you can become sane, so that you can become okay, because it doesn't help you go and you go forward with the case, and then you are not ready to fight this person, and it just hurts you more than you already hurt. That's why people take their time to bring matters of this nature forward. But yet you find people that I don't know if you don't understand human experiences or human nature or emotional intelligence. I don't know where we are lacking. You find somebody that will say like, yeah, but why are you taking so long? Why didn't you report him that time? Hey, why didn't you go to the police station that time? And it leaves that tis. I don't know if I should beat you up or come and have a conversation with you at your mom's house and tell your mom that these are the things that you are saying on the internet. The child that you raised, ma'am, is telling girls that have been sexually violated, that they shouldn't have worn that skirt. I wonder, like, what your mother would think of the things that you write on the streets of the internet. Luckily, you think that you're untouchable. Yeah? As people, we think we're untouchable there on the internet. But if somebody's looking for you, they can find you. Now you don't know why your life is just going bad. Can't the victim's grandmother is a whole witch doctor? Yeah? Can't he? First of all, before she went to the police station, she went to her grandmother. She went to her auntie. You understand? And then you realize that Oshikoko is not enough, because I kind of want to see him in Oshikoko. And then you also decide to take the route of justice. So you take two justice. You take the justice, cultural justice, and then you take the legal justice. But you guys are out here on the internet. Now you don't know why you are so unlucky in life. But me, I went onto your profile. I took off your picture. I went to print it at the cell phone shop, at the printing shop. And then I went, mourned to me. This person and this person, I took all 20 of your people, your pictures, because I have that kind of time, because I'm hurt. I'm hurt. I'm violated. I am not in a good space. I have all the time in the world, to do bad things. I do. Like, in all honesty, people underestimate other people's pain. People underestimate how far people are willing to go because they are hurt. And that is why you guys don't believe it when your sweet innocent girlfriend decides to burn your entire house down when she caught you with a girl. She decided to burn the whole thing. You are like, yeah, because I think that we don't put ourselves in other people's shoes at all. We don't understand, ne? Another person's pain to the extent where you, as somebody that has been in a relationship with this man for a long time, you tell him that me, I don't want anymore and I'm sleeping with someone else and leave me alone, you coward. Hey, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. You have the audacity when you have the audacity to come from wherever you are coming from, to come and break up with me in person. The audacity. Because you think that X will next mark me. And then at the end of the day, we end up arguing and then it's passion crimes and then you are dead and I'm going to jail. But it all comes from underestimating somebody's pain, underestimating somebody's emotions, thinking that will not find you. Like, I'm not threatening you guys. Eh? These are stern warnings. Fakwe. I'm really just trying to understand, ne, if everything is just fun and games. Because I feel that we are so hateful. Is it because we don't understand situations, we don't understand things, or is it because we don't really want to understand things? Is that the reason? Why do you go on the internet and go and talk such things? I go to a freedom of expression. Yeah. We're an angel, freedom of expression. But we're African also. Okan weta kucho mwano wakuji. Nongange wene. Ken wetara. At all, your witch doctor can't find the person that witched you. Because this person doesn't have a link to you. Because this is so broad. It's not an ex-girlfriend. It's not an ex-lover. It's not a one-night stand. It's not a cousin. It's not a relative. It's not a church member. It's a girl from the internet where you went and posted. And you said things like, yeah, but why didn't she scream? She was really being raped. Eh? You went to go and say that. And now your life is just going in shambles. And you keep doing it. But what type of mindset is that? Is it because we come from a hateful culture?
Our heroes marched for freedom. Today, honor them by marching towards safer roads. Make a heroic choice. Keep your speed steady, tires tough, and mind clear. And when you drive sober, buckle up, and stay alert, you become the guardian of their legacy. This Heroes Day, let your choices echo their bravery. Be an everyday hero. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Who am I to be blind, pretending that I'm not alone? I can bloom from sky in a one-piece song. Now telling the wind inside of that world. That's why I want you to know I'm staring at the man in the mirror. Ooh, yeah, I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make a world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. What's that? Na 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 na. Ooh, yeah. Mm. Do we hate each other? Eh? Do we hate each other so much that really we can go and bash people on the internet about their ordeals? What was she? Eh, you want to start a conversation. What was she wearing? Eh, why was she there in that dark alley? I know, me being in a dark alley, does that give you the right to violate me? Me driving my car, does that give you the right to steal it? Me standing at the robot, does that give you the right to grab my cell phone? Eh? Like, what do you mean, uhethi? Like, what is your problem? Like, bro, uhethi. Like, oh, messy, dead, messy, unorganized. You are telling me which I'm holding my phone in an unorganized manner in Oshindonga. How, guys? Do we hate each other that much? Is it really that bad? Is it that deep? Let's talk about hate culture. Let's talk about where we get it. Let's talk about the conversations that are not spoken about. Because I bet you, you don't even know half the things that you say on these platforms. And you don't know how it's going to impact you. Maybe, just maybe, right? The person that was just supposed to, the person that your face is all over your profile. Tomorrow, you are going for a job interview and you are just unwinding on the internet before you go to bed, you insulting people's lives. And tomorrow you come into the interview and part of the people on the panel, right? Because we do that. I literally go there, ne, on our platforms and I go and look at your comments, ne, and I want to see what a person, ne, that says something like this looks like. Especially there on other platforms. You guys here, jealous, mwah, jealous sharp. Yeah, I haven't seen anything sketchy so far, but I think it's because of who we are also as people. I think there's a lot of respect given to us, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much. You guys are not a reckless bunch. You guys are brilliant audience. You guys are brilliant readers. You guys are brilliant followers. I don't really see this kind of chaos with us at all. And thank you on behalf of Eagle Media House. I am so grateful for you guys being a perfect, you guys don't give us hate content. Thank you so much. But on other platforms. So now I'm going to read an article there by another platform. And you are there in the comment section. So what I do as a person that is very much interested in seeing kucha, a person, that says these types of things, what do they look like? I go and look for you. I go and look for you and I go and look at your face. Kucha, this is the face of a person that thinks, right, that people get raped because of what they are wearing. This is the face of a person that thinks that people must not walk around. This is the face of a person that thinks the way they are writing there in the comment section. And you might be thinking that, yeah, it's not my real name. But the thing is that your face is everywhere on social media, not unless you are a ghost. But you can't be a ghost if you're on social media for a while. Somebody has a picture of you on the internet. Whether it's consensual or not consensual, whether it is to your knowledge or not to your knowledge, somebody has a picture of you. So now we're going to find this picture and I'm looking at you and I'm on the panel of the people that are hiring there at Eagle FM. So when you come into the interview, we are sitting there and I'm on the panel. And yesterday I was so bothered by this article that I was reading and your comment was there and your comment. And then I took some time out because everybody can be a troll on the internet. First, Angela. So I went and I trolled and I stalked you and I went to look at your pictures and because I need to see the face of a person that talks like this and thinks like this, right? I go and I check and you don't know me. You don't even know that I went through your profile yesterday. You don't know what I think of you because for starters, I already think, ne, that you are scum of the earth. I already think that. I already think that you are not worthy of sitting in our company. I already think that from the minute that you're sitting there in the interview room. I already think that. And I was already saying my prayer yesterday, which I thank you so much, Lord, that we don't have a person that thinks like this at our workplace. And then tomorrow you come from an interview and you ace it. Right? You ace it because you're giving all the answers and you are most probably the best candidate out of everybody. But I'm the boss. And I sit with my delegation. I sit with my people and I say, "Kucha, number 10 is out." Why is number 10 out? Number 10 is out because of the values. He does not represent the company's values. So say now, for example, we are a woman organization. And then you went to say something like that. In the internet, and you want to work for us because we are a woman organization doesn't mean we don't employ men. Now you want to come to our woman organization because unemployment is also hitting and it's also been long. You want to come and work.
You're brilliant at whatever you do. But now my panel's like, my dear, let's just take the second best. Because this best over here, ne, is going to cause us problems because of the way that they think and what they say in public. You are already embarrassing. Like, what will the corporate world will never touch us. And we all want to be. There's nobody in this country that doesn't want to be part of the corporate world, not unless you're already in the corporate world. Everybody wants to be part of the corporate world because who corporate pays. Whether you are a singer, you are an actor, you are a drum beater, you are a CEO, you sell plants. We all want, ne, a piece of the corporate cake. Imagine if corporate decides to buy all your plants. No Zimbuka. Wazimbuka. Imagine if corporate decides to put 20,000 ads. Nanzimbuka, Mazimbuka. So we all want corporate. Now we are sitting with a rotten egg that we cannot afford to have a person that goes onto the internet and says such things, because corporate also has people like me that were just on the internet reading an article, and then I don't know you. I just went to look for what you look like, because I've got that kind of time, you know. I went to go and see Kucha. A person that writes a comment like this, what do they look like? Like, what type of lives do they have? Do they have kids? Now we go there. You and your three daughters is the profile picture. You and your three daughters, but yet you go and write things like, yeah, women should not be walking outside with shorties. How? Or short skirts. You go and write that. And then we go and see there that you're sitting with your three daughters as your profile picture. Then you come there and then you do the interview. Then you tell us things like, yeah, I'm what? I'm family oriented. You're like, how you are going to ask your girls when they come home one day, sexually violated, Kucha, what are you doing there? Serves you right. You're going to damage, your daughters because of the way you think about women or the way you think about situations. We are looking. And that in itself, right? I believe it comes from somewhere. I believe it has been drilled inside you. I don't believe that you guys just wake up, misogynist. I don't think that you guys just wake up bad. I don't think nobody wakes up bad. I don't think that we as women wake up bad one day to just say stupid things like that. Hey? A stupid thing like a degrading thing. Kucha, people are talking about sucking things. Or people, it's, let's just use the same seriousness. It is this type of case. Now, in this type of case, you as a woman would go there and then you say like, yeah, some women just don't know how to read the room, for example. Yeah, some women are just very loose. Like, in this article, what implied that she's loose? Because she went on a date with a guy that she knows, with a guy that you would never in your life assume that an officer would do this to you. Because I mean, we are dealing with it on a regular basis. We see what it is, we see the process, and we see the damage it causes. So why would I be thinking that this person is going to do this to me also? Because we are most also not expecting the worst from people. And also, don't forget, this person is highly decorated, highly recommended. I want a piece of that. So I wouldn't think like that. But for you to think that, yeah, it's like you're taunting me. But you're taunting me on the internet. And the internet is filled with people like Matriarch. You go and comment there, and then I go and see which ano onto a commenting in my change. Like a person that speaks like this, like what do their faces look like? Is it a bad looking person? Is it a good looking person? Like what type of life did you have for you to assume, right, that this that you are saying is correct? Or is it you are so lonely in your life that you would rather stir up a fight on the internet just so that you have somebody to talk to? There are people like that. There are people that are going through so many emotions and nobody, and they have no one, right? And the only thing they know how to do is fight. So they just go there with that don't care attitude. Because now nobody's calling them back for interviews, and the girlfriend left and the boyfriend left. Things are not going well. So they just troll the internet and they just lurk in the shadows of the internet. And people like me, we go back. We go back to see Timoteo's Bioplus. Timoteo's Bioplus said that, yeah, why did this, what, why didn't that girl do what? I go back and I go and check, and then tomorrow you are in the interview, and I'm holding a poker face, my dear, because one, I didn't engage with you. So you have no idea, right? That I went there and I saw this comment and I went to check there because I was also not looking for you. You are also just a surprise to me here. But I know that when you are leaving, by unanimous vote, we are not employing you. Or you come to a place where you don't know anybody and you just started working there, but there's just this one person, colleague, one person that is just trying to destroy your whole entire work life and you have no idea why. Does it ever fathom? Do you ever think about it in a way of, it could have been one day something that I said on the internet? We never think that things are real. We never think that there are people that are lunatics out there. We never think that there are people that are psychos out there. Do you know that there are people, right, that can decide that me, I love this woman from radio. Hmm? And this is something that has happened, right? I love this woman from radio. I'm just going to start following her, and it happens. I'm going to look for her number, and I'm going to just start stalking her. And I, in my mind, I'm married to the matriarch. In my mind, she's my girl. In my mind. And it has happened. And you think that everybody is fine. But we are not as we are not fine. As we have time. As we have time to make your life a living hell because of the way you reason. Hmm? I had a whole person, my dear. What was his name? Deepway. Brr. Eh? This person, madly, deeply in love, is writing letters. He's got my number from the grapevines. What? It was stalkery upon stalkery upon stalkery. And you think, ne? I'm just a lady from the radio, Moss.
Stock up for August with real value at WB. Get a 2-liter Pepsi now for a sweet $14.99. 750 ml WB cooking oil for only $26.99. 1 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for just $36.99. And 50 Hi Baby active diapers at only $124.99. See all our real value deals at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The Faculty of Commerce, Management and Law of the University of Namibia is pleased to present the hybrid face-to-face and online annual international conference on sustainable and equitable financial systems. EFS to take place on the 21st to the 22nd of October 2025 in Windhoek, Namibia. Authors, young researchers, academians and practitioners are invited to submit their abstracts. The submission of abstracts deadline is the 3rd of September 2025. For more information, visit the university website at www.unam.edu.na.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Oh.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, we are almost talking hate culture. We're so deep in it. We're just there by the introduction. We're so deep in it. Yo. Hate culture, hate culture. But ladies and gentlemen, remember that all these attributes that we have and all these behaviors and beliefs and values and attitudes that we have, they come from somewhere. It's not us that we just woke up and then we're like, oh my goodness, I'm just going to have a stank attitude. Ooh, I'm just going to wake up and I'm just going to be like this. I know. It all comes from somewhere. Whether you saw Rambo doing it, whether you saw this other taxi driver just take out the katana non jebo and you decided that I'm going to be a dangerous and fearless dude just like that guy. Whether you grew up with a religious nun that is just nunning you so bad that you just grew up with Hail Marys. It all comes from somewhere. There's nobody that is not influenced. We are all influenced. We're influenced the way we talk, the way we breathe, the way we are, the way we reason. We are influenced, and we are influenced by the world around us, and that's it. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about what we can do about hate culture. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'm introducing my guest this evening, and her name is Sally Khan. Her name is Sally Khan, and she's going to be giving us a conversation about what we can do about hate culture or the culture of hate. Ladies and gentlemen, we as Eagle Media House and as Eagle FM, we do not claim or perpetrate an idea of taking ownership of anything that we play or that we present as our own. We do not do that. This is strictly for illustration purposes. This is strictly for learning purposes. This is strictly for the conversation that we are having at large. So please take that into mind as we indulge in a conversation with Sally Khan about what we can do about hate culture.
So people tell me I'm a nice person, to the point where it's part of my personal and professional identity that I'm so nice and able to get along with anyone, even my most fierce opponents. It's like my thing. It's what I'm known for. But what no one knows is that I was a bully. Honestly, I didn't think about it much myself. I buried the memories for years, and even still a lot of it's really hazy. Denial, by the way, apparently is also one of my things. But the more people started to praise me for being a liberal who could get along with conservatives, and the more I wrote articles about being nice and gave talks about being nice, the more I felt this hypocrisy creeping up inside me. What if I was actually really mean? When I was 10 years old, there was a girl in my class at school named Vicky. And I tormented her mercilessly. I mean, everyone did. Even the teachers picked on her. Doesn't make it any better, does it? Vicky was clearly a troubled kid. She would hit herself and give herself bloody noses, and she had hygiene problems. She had big hygiene problems. But instead of helping this girl, who was plainly suffering from hardships in her life, we called her Sticky Vicky. I called her Sticky Vicky. My clearest memory is standing in the empty hallway outside the fifth grade classrooms waiting for Vicky to come out of the bathroom, and I have a clipboard and a pen and a survey I've made up asking about shampoo preferences, like I'm doing a study for science class or something. And when Vicky comes out of the bathroom, I pounce on her, and I ask her what shampoo she uses. Now, To put this in perspective, I can't remember the names of my teachers. I can't remember the names of any of the books I read that year. I pretty much can't remember anything from fifth grade. But I remember that Vicky told me she used White Rain shampoo. Clear as yesterday. Like, it just happened. And as classes let out, I ran down the hall shouting at all the other kids, Sticky Vicky uses White Rain shampoo. Don't use White Rain shampoo or you'll smell like Sticky Vicky. I forgot about this memory for a long time. When I finally started remembering it, I immediately needed to know more. I reached out to friends and eventually social media, and I did everything I could to try to find Vicky. I needed to know that she was okay and that I hadn't ruined her life. But what I quickly realized was I wasn't just trying to figure out what happened to Vicky. I was trying to figure out what happened to me. When I was 10 years old, I treated another human being like some worthless other. Like I was better than her, and she was garbage. What kind of a nice person does that? I mean, I know I was only a kid, but not all kids do that. Most kids don't do that, right? So what if I wasn't nice after all? I was really just a hateful monster. And I started to notice myself having these mean impulses, thinking mean thoughts, and wanting to say them. Admittedly, most of my mean thoughts were about conservatives. But not just conservatives. I also caught myself thinking mean things about mushy centrist liberals and greedy Wall Street bankers and Islamophobes and slow drivers, because I really hate slow drivers. And as I catch myself in these moments of hypocrisy, either I was just noticing them more, or they were getting worse, especially in the last few years. And as I felt more rageful, really, I noticed the world around me seemed to be getting more hateful too. Like there was this steady undercurrent of hate bubbling up all around us and increasingly overflowing. So the plus side, I guess, is that I realized that hate was not just my problem, which is like the most selfish plus side ever. Because now, instead of just my own hate and cruelty to try to figure out, I had a whole world of hate I wanted to unravel and understand and fix. So I did what all overly intellectual people do when they have a problem that they want to understand, and I wrote a book. I wrote a book about hate. Spoiler alert, I'm against it. Now, at this point, you might be thinking to yourself, why y'all worried about hate? You didn't hate Vicky. Bullying isn't hate. Isn't it? Gordon Alpert, the psychologist who pioneered the study of hate in the early 1900s, he developed what he called a scale of prejudice. At one end are things like genocide and other bias-motivated violence. But at the other end are things like believing that your in-group is inherently superior to some out-group, or avoiding social interaction with those others. Isn't that all hate? I mean, it wasn't an accident that I was a rich kid picking on a poor kid, or that Vicky, it turns out, would eventually end up being gay. Poor kids and gay kids are more likely to be bullied, even by kids who also end up being gay. I mean, I know there was a lot going on in my little 10-year-old mind. I'm not saying hate was the only reason I picked on Vicky, or even that I was consciously hateful or anything. But the fact is, the people we discriminate against in our public policies and in our culture are also the groups of people most likely to be bullied in school. That is not just a coincidence. That's hate. I am defining hate in a broad way, because I think we have a big problem. And we need to solve all of it, not just the most extremes. So, for instance, we probably all agree that marching down the street, chanting about how you should take away rights from some group of people because of their skin color or their gender, we'd all agree that's hate, right? Okay. What if you believe that group of people is inferior, but you don't say it? Is that hate? Or what if you believe that group of people is inferior, but you aren't aware that you believe it, what's known as implicit bias? Is that hate? I mean, they all have the same roots, don't they, in the historic patterns of racism and sexism that have shaped our history and still infect our society today. Isn't it all hate? Right? I'm not saying they're the same thing. Just like I am not saying that bullying, being a bully, is as bad as being a Nazi. Just like I'm not saying that being a Nazi is the same thing as punching a Nazi. But hating a Nazi is still hate, right? What about hating someone who isn't as enlightened as you? See, what I learned is that we all are against hate, and we all think hate is a problem. We think it's their problem, not our problem. They're hateful. I mean, if I think the people who didn't vote like me are stupid racist monsters who don't deserve to call themselves Americans, all right, fine, I'm not being nice, I get it. I'm not hateful, I'm just right, right? Wrong. We all hate. And I do not mean that in some abstract, generic sense. I mean all of us. Me and you. That sanctimonious pedestal of superiority on which we all place ourselves, that they are hateful and we are not, is a manifestation of the essential root of hate, that we are fundamentally good and they are not, which is what needs to change. So in trying to understand and solve hate, I read every book and every research study I could find, but I also went and talked to some former Nazis and some former terrorists and some former genocidal killers, because I figured if they could figure out how to escape hate, surely the rest of us could. Let me give you just one example of the former terrorist I spent time with in the West Bank. When Bassam Aramin was 16 years old, he tried to blow up an Israeli military convoy with a grenade. He failed, fortunately, but he was still sentenced to 7 years in prison. When he was in prison, they showed a film about the Holocaust. Now, up until that point, Bassam had thought the Holocaust was mostly a myth. He went to go watch the film because he thought he would enjoy seeing Jews get killed. But when he saw what really happened, he broke down crying. And eventually, after prison, Bassam went on to get a master's degree in Holocaust studies. And he founded an organization where former Palestinian combatants and Israeli combatants come together, work together, try to find common ground. By his own account, Bassam used to hate Israelis. But through knowing Israelis and learning their stories and working together for peace, he overcame his hate. And Bassam says he still doesn't hate Israelis, even after the Israeli military shot and killed his 12-year-old daughter, Abir, while she was walking to school. Bassam even forgave the soldier who killed his daughter. That soldier, he taught me, was just a product of the same hateful system as he was. If a former terrorist, if a terrorist can learn to stop hating and still not hate when their child is killed, surely the rest of us can stop our habits of demeaning and dehumanizing each other. And I will tell you, there are stories like Bassam's all over the world, plus study after study after study that says, no, we are neither designed nor destined as human beings to hate, but rather taught to hate by the world around us. I promise you, none of us pops out of the womb hating black people or Republicans. There is nothing in our DNA that makes us hate Muslims or Mexicans. For better or for worse, we are all a product of the culture around us. And the good news is, we're also the ones who shape that culture, which means we can change it. The first step is starting to recognize the hate inside ourselves. We need to catch ourselves and our hateful thoughts in all their forms, in all of us, and work to challenge our ideas and assumptions. That doesn't happen overnight. I am telling you right here, it is a lifelong journey, but it's one we all need to take. And then second, if we want to challenge the hate in our societies, we need to promote policies and institutions and practices that connect us as communities. Literally, like integrated neighborhoods and schools. That, by the way, is the reason to support integration, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because integration systematically combats hate. There are studies that teenagers who participate in racially integrated classes and activities reduce their racial bias. And when little kids go to racially integrated kindergartens and elementary schools, they develop less bias to begin with. But the fact is, in so many ways and in so many places around our world, we are separated from each other. In the United States, for instance, 3/4 of white people don't have any non-white friends. So in addition to promoting those proactive solutions, the other thing we need to do is upend the hate in our institutions and our policies that perpetuate dehumanization and difference and otherizing and hate, like systems of sexual harassment and sexual assault in the workplace, or our deeply racially imbalanced and deeply racially biased criminal justice system. We need to change that. Again, it will not happen overnight. It needs to happen. And then, when we connect together in these connection spaces facilitated by connection systems, we need to change the way we talk to each other and connect with one another and relate with generosity and open-mindedness and kindness and compassion and not hate. And that's it. That's it. I know, solved it all, right? That's it. That is pretty much, there's a few details, but that's pretty much all we have to do. It's not that complicated, right? But it's hard. The hate that we feel towards certain groups of people because of who they are or what they believe is so ingrained in our minds and in our society that it can feel inevitable and impossible to change. Change is possible. Just look at the terrorist who became a peace activist. Or look at the bully who learned to apologize to her victim. The entire time I was traveling around the Middle East and Rwanda and across the United States, hearing these unbelievable stories of people in communities who had left entire histories of hate behind, I was still looking for Vicky. It was so hard to find her, in fact, that I hired a private investigator, and he found her. I mean, he sort of found her. The truth is, it became clear that the person I'm calling Vicky had gone to extraordinary lengths to hide her identity. But anyway, a year after I began my journey, I wrote Vicky an apology. And a few months later, she wrote back. I'm not going to lie, I wanted to be forgiven. But I wasn't. I mean, she offered me sort of conditional forgiveness. Here, what she wrote was, messages such as yours cannot absolve you of your past actions. The only way to do that is to improve the world, prevent others from behaving in similar ways, and foster compassion. And Vicky's right. Which is why I'm here. Thank you.
Beautifully said, my dear. Beautifully said. Kucha, nothing can be taken away from what you've done. Like, at the end of the day, you did do what you did and you hurt me with your hatred that you were pushing onto me, and the best you can do as an individual, right? I'm going to forgive you when you change the world. I'm going to forgive you when you prevent others from doing what you did. And that is the condition that Vicky gave. And looking at it, I think that it was correctly so, because the world is such a complicated place. So ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about hate culture this evening, and we are also indulging other people that have experienced hate speech and hate culture and hateful things.
I am also the victim of hate speech. My family has been victimized by hate speech. My community has been victimized by hate speech. And yes, while I use this term victimized purposely, I'm going to add another term, and that is empowerment. Myself, my family, my community have been empowered by hate speech because we have our eyes wide open. We know what we face. We know that we are once again witnessing the rise of hateful ideology in our society, and the fact that white supremacy, things like white supremacy, are once again given a platform of legitimacy in our society. And we know we must come together collectively and creatively to fight against this social injustice. My consciousness about hate speech actually begins with my late father, Alfred Charles Stansberry. He was the first black architect in a small town in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The local Klan did not appreciate having such a brilliant and successful black man represented in our town, and so they took to terrorizing my father and my family. But my father didn't back down. My mother, Liz Stansberry, didn't back down. Oh, my mother. Oh, my goodness. My black, Creole, bodacious, beautiful mother did not back down. Mother. Yes. The community did not back down. As a matter of fact, black men in the community took to walking my father to and from work, to and from his car, to make sure that he was protected. And they walked with my family. I'm sorry, they actually watched over my family's home to make sure that we were protected. This is an example of empowerment. This is an example of a community coming together and saying, no, we will not stand for this. And by the way, I mention my father and my mother by name because it's important for me to recognize that they gave me the backbone to deal with what I have to deal with on a daily basis sometimes in our society. They empowered me, and so I want to honor them, and that's why I purposely mention their names. So, what I want to cover today with you is to talk about one of the traditional justifications of freedom of speech, the most well-known one, and the rationale behind why we protect hate speech. So when we think about it, one of the most traditional justifications of freedom of speech is called the marketplace of ideas theory. This is a theory that was talked about by Mill and Holmes and others. In this theory, it holds that society, all of us, act as an open market where a free exchange of ideas leads us to agreed upon truths. This idea actually dates back to the sophists of ancient Greek culture. The sophists were early teachers of rhetoric. They knew that they needed to teach persuasion and argument in order to help the democracy function. And one of the things that they said is that the truth comes through the clash of arguments. Think about that. The truth comes through the clash of arguments. That is really important. It does not come through the clash of ill-informed opinions. Yeah. Now, when it comes to hate speech is defined as any speech that is directed to a historically marginalized group. It is a speech that communicates inferiority. It's speech that degrades and dehumanizes. That is hate speech. Our understanding of hate speech and our approach to hate speech in society has been heavily informed by a landmark case called Brandenburg versus Ohio in 1969. In this case, a Ku Klux Klan member was charged with inciting a riot through his racist speech. He later won his case on the grounds of the First Amendment. And what this did, this case established what we call the new incitement standard. What this means is that in order to be criminalized for your public speech, you have to prove that your speech causes immediate harm and violence. And really, that is difficult to prove. That is where we start to see blanket protections of hate speech in our society. Now, please don't get me wrong. I am not advocating for censorship. I am saying that all of us have a responsibility to understand the First Amendment, to understand our responsibilities and the consequences of the First Amendment. Hate speech has real material harm in our society. It harms individuals. It harms families. It harms community. It harms our democracy. So we really need to think about ways to mitigate that harm, and we need to be responsible of that. We experience hate speech in the college environment. We experience it out in public. We experience it coming from our leaders and our media personalities. We experience it everywhere. Freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences, nor does it mean freedom from responsibility. And I think... And I think that is what we are missing oftentimes when we talk about the First Amendment or teach about the First Amendment. We teach that all ideas are created equal and all ideas are equally valid and true. But if those ideas are not informed by solid logical argument, those ideas aren't worth anything. And I'm sorry to say that, but they're not. If they're not informed, they're not really worth being in the marketplace and being in the clash of arguments that the sophists talked about. So that is important. Also, we need to understand that the marketplace is an ideal. It's not truly open and free. Power dictates the market. Power often dictates and influences whose voices are heard and prioritized. Oftentimes, the most ill-informed, anti-democratic, racist, sexist, homophobic speech becomes normalized in our society. We get to a point where politicians and media personalities can vilify an entire group of people by calling them animals, rapists, invaders, with little to no consequence. And then we, as a society, as a culture, we accept this. And we say, hey, it's just their valid opinion and valid political ideology. This is a problem. This is a problem. So what do we do about it? Let's be clear. Just because someone does not actively engage in hateful rhetoric, it does not mean they are not complicit in it. They are complicit through their silence, and they are complicit through their excuses. So we must hold them accountable. And how do we do that? We hold them accountable through our voices, through our activism, and through our vote. It's also important to hold our family and friends accountable. I don't know about you all, but many of us have been taught that we should not talk about politics and religion at the dinner table or with family and friends. And yeah? Have you been taught that? Yes. Okay. I say that this has been a detriment to our intellectual and cultural growth. The next time a family member or a friend sits down next to you and starts spouting out messages of hate, racist, sexist, homophobic, classist information, challenge them on that. But challenge them with civility and care. Be willing to really listen to them and try to come from a space of understanding that we are all doing the best that we can and we're all a product of our socialization. That is important to think about. Another thing that we must think about is educating our children and talking to our children about these things. oftentimes we think, you know, we want to protect our children. We want to save them from the atrocities of what happens in society. But we really need to educate them because they're going to be out there in the world. And not only going to be, they're there now. They're seeing this now. They're watching media just like we're watching media. And so it's important for us to teach media literacy, to talk to them, to think about it. I have two beautiful and bold a daughter and a son. And my husband and I have really worked to talk to them about everything that's going on in society. And I admire my husband, Brian, because he has been instrumental in talking to my son about what it means to be a black man in society, being a role model for my daughter about who men should be. We both talk to our children about all these things that are relevant in society, and I encourage all of you to do the same. If you don't have children, children are around you, talk to them. They see what's going on, and if we're not talking to them, that's an issue. So that's important. Also, it's important to model civility. So at the heart of civility is a concept known as dialogic ethics. And with dialogic ethics, there are two pieces, listening and learning. So we must be willing to actively listen to one another and be willing to learn from one another. Like I said before, understanding our socialization, understanding our stories, and not being afraid to share our reasoning and our rationale with others. That is important to dialogic ethics. One of the other things that people often say about civility is that anger has no place in civility. What do you think I'm going to say about that? It has a place. It has a place. We should be angry that we are now again witnessing the rise of hate in our society. We should be angry that our leaders and our politicians and our media personalities and our people are not doing enough to combat this hate. We should be angry that too many of us are excusing it as valid opinion and valid political ideology. We should be angry, but we should not. Yes. But we should not let our anger overtake us. We should not let our anger be a detriment to our success. And so what we need to do is challenge that anger. And like I said previously, we challenge that anger through our votes and through our activism and our cultural activism. And so I encourage us all to use that anger and challenge it into good. So we are living in difficult times. But you know what? We've been through this before. We've overcome this before, and we will damn well overcome it again.
Woo! Good evening to you, my beloveds. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. We're talking about hate speech, and we're giving a story. So basically, within our story, we're talking about you, the outsider. We're talking about you that comes with a comment. We're talking about you and what you think of something and how you display your thoughts. And we were asking questions like, hey, Vele, you just go onto the internet, you're like on lunch break or whatever, you just go onto the internet and then you read an article and then you go and comment there, which yeah, but it's because she's overweight. You're like, hey, some of these comments, they hit home. You're like, hey, body shaming, straight body shaming. Somebody goes there and says, I hate gay people. Or like, whoa, what did they do to you? Like, they came and they sat on you, or they were just walking past you, you just hate them. Like, why? I don't like Christians. Ow! You don't like Christians. Like, I, like, what happens? Like, oh, rich people just, and, let me finish that statement. Rich people just make me go crazy. I really hate them. Okay. So, sometimes, right, when we look at discrimination, and we look at bad things being said to others or being done upon others, we always assume it to be the minority that's getting backlash or being abused or not, you know, the vulnerable. We always picture people that are, we are classist most, so we picture people that are lower, that are the ones that are struggling, And they are the ones that are being discriminated against. And they are the ones that are getting the backhanded compliments. They are getting the ones, they are the ones that are getting the slaps. But what happens, right? When you call rich people names, are you not promoting hate speech because of somebody's finances or financial status? Now we call them names like, yeah, those, they call themselves the elite. They don't even call themselves the elite. No rich people walk around and say, hey, elite. Hey, elite. How you doing, elite? I'm fine, elite. Let's go, elite. Oh, elite. They don't do that. That's a name that we created. That's a name that we created. That's a term that we created and we dubbed them that. And it's the same as saying, kucha, ayengwe, ngonkwankara. Right. This is a whole entire, and I understand from a culture perspective, you know, it's not to say that, it is specified towards a certain group of people, but you do find that there are some people that All right, 083-288-401. You can call back. There are certain people that that associate certain behavior, right, to certain groups of people. So when we're talking about violence, for example, people want to dub a certain group of people as violent people. And when we talk about rapists, then we want to dub a certain group as rapists, or we want to dub a certain type of people, or we want to judge books by the cover, you know. And this is something that we grew up with. This is something that goes back to what culture is, you know. Culture is said to be, right, a set of attitudes, values, beliefs, and behaviors shared by a group. So do we just all share these beliefs, values, attitudes, and behaviors? It's probably because somebody taught us, because we grew up in it, and then we think that it is okay, right? And this is how we go out there in the world, and then we represent our homes, our cultures, our good standing. We represent others with these types of behavior. And the reason that I'm talking about hate, well, hate culture per se, is because I feel like we are so hateful, and we are so oblivious to how much hate we are giving out into the universe, and how much hate is just dominating us to the core. So much so that it is displayed within the things that we talk about. Now, many people say that we don't talk about religion and we don't talk about politics, because those are conversations where we fight most. We fight because you believe in Itula, and the other one believes in Swart Boy. And now it's a whole thing. And at the end of the day, sometimes it even gets physical. But is it because we are scared of uncomfortable conversations? Is it because we don't know how to address certain things? Is it because nobody actually taught us how to address anything? Because they go and address themselves with their peers, and the rest of us that are younger than them, we somehow just take in. We take in what is being given to us. We're talking about hate speech, for example. And we are trying to find where it comes from. We're trying to identify that this that you are doing here, this is hate speech, okay? This is not correct. This is not what we do. So we classify people, and it's not just in what we say, it's what we believe, and it is what we behave as. So, for example, all right, you get into an elevator, and then there's an old Caucasian woman, white woman, in the elevator, and she pulls her face when you get in. Now, you are a black man. When she pulls her face, right, the first thought that comes to your mind is not that she's an old lady and she is most probably uncomfortable because the elevator is such a small place. You are never ever thinking claustrophobic. You're always thinking color. So does that not make you racist for thinking like that? Is that not racist? Is it not racist for you to assume that the old white lady hates you because you're black? Is it? Is it not? Okay. All right. Is it not tribalism? You know, when you think that the Vambuga that's walking up the street is going to rob you. Is it not? Oh, okay. Okay. Is it not bad? We can say bad because I don't know the word for that one. Is it not bad for you to assume that every rich person in this country stole their money? Is it not? Because now you're just accusing somebody. And now you're just having this whole belief that rich people, they don't work hard for their money. They just got it from a money tree that is in somebody's garden, and they were all told to just go and pick from the grapevines, and then they got it. And here you are, because you are not in their position. You call them names and you say things, and you don't even have facts. You just have opinions that you display as facts, and it's not okay. So, why? Right? It is all a conversation about why. It is all a conversation about freedom of speech. So, we have this thing called freedom of speech, where you're allowed to say whatever you want to say, because, yeah, you have freedom to say whatever you want to say. But that freedom of speech is limited to some degree, especially if what you are saying is causing harm towards other people. Now, you don't understand why some people get sued. You just think that, no. That one got sued because they were saying these things about them. It's not that. It's because what you are saying, right, and who I am, it doesn't match. It's because it's not true. There's a video, there was a video on the internet, right, circulating of a young lady that is doing sexual activities, and it was labeled as Marianne Pembe. And now, for you to send out, for example, a video like this, right? For you to send out a video like this, and you full well, you can see the video, you can see the video. You can see that this is not the person that I'm talking about, but you are sharing it. Is it because you are bored? Is it because you don't think about people's reputations? Is it because you don't think about people's credibility? Is it because you live a life of no consequences? Or why? You know? The question that I'm asking tonight is, why are you guys the way you guys are on the internet? Why do we carry hate speech? We don't want to have conversations about politics and religion in our houses or with our friends because, no. Politics and religion, those conversations, they cause people to fight. But isn't it better for us to have conversations where we are arguing? Where we are arguing and we are all coming with facts and we put it onto the table so that in future you know exactly how to do it. You know how to ngongako per se. So this lady of ours in our story, right? So she goes home and she doesn't go to the police station after she was sexually violated. She doesn't go to the police station. She goes home and she basically just, has a human experience, where she is just trying to fathom what just happened to her. She's going through what I would assume to be an emotional nightmare, a mental nightmare, a physical nightmare. And she says nothing. So after like a month or 2 months or so, she finally built up the courage, right? To make a case against the perpetrator. So I told you guys, they work together, they're in one environment, and they're all, you know, law enforcement. And then also there's that thing of, the other one is the type of people where comes into the room, then everybody has to stand up because ranks. So now she comes forward and then she puts in the case and she decides that she's going to go through with it. She's finally ready to go through with it in emotions and everything. And what happens is, because we are who we are, right? And this is my two cents about it. One, if something like this happens in the workplace and people are innocent and they're proven guilty, right? Wouldn't it be logical to separate, the people from seeing one another as you, the commander in chief? Eh? Wouldn't it be safer to have an environment where I don't bump into you every day? Where we don't work like that, hand in hand. You can even send me to another place, or you can send the other person to another place. Wouldn't it be better? But no, that was not their situation. So it was back to work as normal, and they are passing each other in the corridors. And the hindrance. Usually when you go for bail, the reason people go for bail hearings in the first place is so that everybody can argue why you should get bail and why you shouldn't get bail. I think that we have become very, very, what do you call it? Forefront type of people. We understand now what is happening. We understand the law a little bit better now because, Eagle FM made it better. Yes. Please download our app, guys, and also download the Imba app. And also if you would like some marketing and advertising, please call the office and we will give you nice packages because hey, it's August. So there are nice packages there and you're never too small. You're never too big to advertise with us. So please do call the office working hours. Eh? Not this time after the matriarch. I was calling the office. Hey, I wanted you guys to market, to advertise my thing. Not this time at 12 o'clock, but yeah, you guys get the drift. So they are working in the same environment and it becomes hostile to some degree. And there is most now intimidation and all of that that's happening. And now at the bail hearing, the idea is you tell me why you should go. You should get out on bail. And the other one says why you shouldn't get out on bail. And part of the questions of why you shouldn't get out on bail is because you have enough kind of power to intimidate me and to make me feel uncomfortable. And also to hinder the case. To hinder the case. You have that kind of power because of who you are within the workplace and also because of who we are in this case, Mosna. And that was Mosna also put in the paper and was also put on the socials. And we, as people, we come there. You know, my target audience is you guys, Mos. So we come there and then we say things like, yeah, but the person is most innocent until proven guilty. Now, when somebody says that, I'm like, yes, the person is innocent until proven guilty in front of the law, not in front of me and you that were there that know what happened. So am I supposed to be traumatized every day if this person did do this? Like, I feel like answering each and every one. I feel like answering, but now a person doesn't have that kind of time because you must also have to have a life. Otherwise you'll just be an internet person and you just live in the basement. You'll never amount to anything because you're just so caught up on the internet. And that's why we have to detox from the internet to some degree, right? And when we come back to why we say things like that, I I really do believe that we say things like, why didn't she scream? And why was she there in the first place? And why didn't they run? And why didn't they fight back? And we say these kinds of things, né? Which is all now part of hate speech in my eyes, right? We say all of this because we've never been in a situation like that. And if we were in a situation like that and we managed to do all the things that we are asking others to have done, right? Then it was just our day. I've learned that situations are situations and they all depend on the type of person that you are in order for you to think and to act the way that you do. So my sister, was it last year? My sister was walking to go and get a cab. I think that was also the motivator for her to buy a car because she recently bought a car, right? My sister was walking to go and get a cab in the morning. And this is like around 7, you know, because she has to be at work at 8. And she had just come basically from training and she was hella fit at the time also. You know, she's still fit because she's an athlete. But when she walked through the bush, two guys came out of nowhere and they jumped her. Now, they jumped her means that they wanted to rob her. So they wanted the bag, they wanted the phone. Mara Mugel, ne? Mugel has a little bit of fight in her. So she didn't allow the fight to go anywhere. She fought. She fought for her things. They went with nothing and they went beaten also. And that is now a person that is from correctional. So she fought back, you know, she fought back and she was effective because the perpetrators, they went and nothing happened, you know, like to her, nothing happened except a broken nail that she could repair. But kumbongo nyorera. And then in another situation, what do you call it when you guys are all tenured in one house? Like, it's my sister wife. she's not my swara, but, she's my in-laws, wife, right? She was recently attacked and she didn't fight back, but she has training as well. She knows how to fight, but she didn't fight back. They didn't have a gun, you know? So it was, she didn't fight back. So these are two very similar situations with two different outcomes and two different types of responses to basically the same thing. These are it's basically the same thing, but it is two different responses. But why did they respond the way they responded? As if, one had more training than the other. One would argue and say that, yeah, but this one just recently came from training and then this one didn't come from training recently. What if they did? What I'm trying to get to is that we are individuals. We react and respond to things differently. So, before we say things like, yeah, but why didn't you run? And why didn't you do this? And why didn't you do that? Right? Make sure that if it were you and this was your situation and you handled it just like that person, let's say now you are not the superhuman that you thought you were and you also kept quiet and you also didn't scream and you also didn't fight and you also were strong-armed. Let's say, right? That you are exactly like the person that you are reading about in this article. And you reacted the same way they reacted. And somebody asked you the same question that you asked them. Let's say, in that moment, right? What your response will be. Because I don't think that we think before we say things. I don't think that we really look at the impact that a comment, like the comment that we are leaving there on the gram, can have on another person's life. Many of us have pushed people more bare. We've pushed people more bare. We have pushed people over the bridge. We have caused people to go crazy. We have done so many bad things with these mouths and these brains of ours, the way we think and the way we say what we say and the way we articulate ourselves, ne? Has hurt feelings. And we still want to play, we still want to play silly. I don't want to use the S word, so I'll say silly instead. We still want to play silly. We still want to pretend as if the karma that we are getting dished out in the world is not a reflection of the hate that we are giving. We still want to pretend that we are holier than thou and we are nice. Just like the first speaker was talking about deeming herself as a nice person. But if you're a nice person, does a nice person bully others? Does a nice person say hurtful things? Does a nice person really think like that? We can't just say that, oh no, I think like this because of my society and where I come from. I'm shaped by my society. Nature versus nurture. It's a whole thing. Maybe just by identifying that, maybe just maybe, I have to look within myself to find if what type of person I am. So, why do we hate so much? And also, what is the root cause of hate? Where does hate originate from? Hate starts from negative assumptions, images, and beliefs about a certain group. Now, group could be anything, right? A group of foods, a group of animals, a group of people, a group of mountains, a group of toddlers, a group of alcoholics, it could be a group of anything, right? So hate starts from negative assumptions. Assumptions are the mother of all. If you take assume, right? And you just divide the ASS and then U and then a M. Yes. E. Eh? Assume. Assume. Right? It spells something absolutely different, but you get the drift of where I'm saying, because you make a donkey out of me and you also. You make a donkey out of both of us because of your assumptions. Never assume anything. So these are assumptions, right? And they are negative assumptions and they are negative images and they are negative beliefs about a certain group. These negative assumptions are called stereotypes. In terms of crisis, stereotypes can become strong and lead to hate towards members of a group. For example, during the pandemic, beliefs about the disease coming from Asia increased hate against Asians. Do you remember the time that we were dealing with COVID and now we were all just afraid of all Asian people? We were just all afraid or we didn't like them as if they went into the lab and cooked up as if, right? Every single Asian was sitting there in the laboratory saying, oh my goodness, I also want to be affected by it and I want this disease to come out there. But the way we projected the hate towards other people that had nothing to do with it is exactly the same way we project it in everything. We project it in tribalism. We project it in colorism. We project it in classism. We project it in all the schisms that could ever schism in the schism. Most people feel stress, fear, and anxiety. Most people felt stress, fear, and anxiety in the pandemic, but many people don't say or do hateful things. It's important to understand why some people act hatefully so that we can work to stop this from happening, right? When there is a crisis, some people feel defensive and blame other people and groups. When someone sees a group as a threat, it might lead them to act or speak hatefully to members of this group. So, we can, if we are taking it back to, because now it became technical, right? If we're taking it back to, for example, the story that we had of the two colleagues, ne, that are officers, right? If we take it from that perspective, right? And we put you in it because it's you that I'm talking about. I'm talking about you that goes and says things like, yeah, but women don't listen. Like, how am I supposed to know? Like, even you got bumped by the car. You should have known that walking in the streets, right, was wrong, but you got bumped in the streets and you think that I'm better than you. I must know everything. And then you can't even know that pavements are for walking, but the street is where you were walking, as if you are a car. Offended or how, patengwe, guys. So it would be your thoughts. And your ideas against a group of women that go to men's houses. So that's the real problem here. Your idea is the problem. Well, the problem here is the way you think of women that go to men's houses and not give up the cookie jar. That's the problem. So it's not this person in particular. It's not the situation in particular. It is what you feel towards the group of women that go to men's houses and choose to, ne? Rightfully so, choose to not indulge in sexual activities because they don't want anymore, because they change their minds. And that is why you can say things like, why did she go there? If we take it from another scenario in involving the same kind of dialogue, right? When we're talking about rape, right? And you, when we're talking about rape here, and then you say that, yeah, but why was she walking around at night? Right? This shows that you have a particular assumption, a particular belief, or a particular thing against the group of women, right, that walk around at night and get violated. That's the issue. So that is why you are going there to comment that, because that's where your real problem is. But why? Is it because you came from a place that says that girls must not walk around at night? Because it all comes from somewhere. So maybe the way you think is not entirely on you. I'm not blaming you for the way you think. I'm just saying, recognize that the things that you're saying, right? They are not kosher. They're not attractive. They're not, nandi. They're not nice. It's not good. Especially since this is a public platform where even the victim can come and read your comment, and your comment sounds like that. I'm telling you right now that the reason that you think like that is because somewhere, somehow within your culture, eh, or within your society or the group where you came from, there is an assumption that women should not walk around at night. Or there's an assumption that women should not walk around by themselves. Or there's an assumption that women should not go outside. And that is why you find some communities, right? Some communities pride themselves in sexually violating, women that offend the customs. For example, women are not allowed to go to school in some areas. And then when you go to school, on your way to school, you most probably get beaten. You most probably get harassed. But it is by people that believe that women should not go to school. So these are their beliefs and their values and their customs. And that is why they are acting out the way they are acting out. So you come from a place. So you are asking yourself, kucha, mara, omashenge, why do I hate them? You ask yourself like, wait, or somebody, or even me, I ask you, kucha, omorashike utondere, omashenge, ngwe, like, pauwe, Like, hey, atukala ne tuna ndora, oshirongo shetu shina mashenga ndora, oshirongo she ni najano, ngere nae, ukwavare ramu, nae oshirongo she. The person is also just in their motherland, okukuri peng. Right? And maybe you went to sit, and then you went to ask yourself this question, because you can't answer me that the correct way outside, so you keep fighting, because you don't want to be humiliated. And then when you go home, you go and ask yourself this question. Kucha, why don't I feel nothing towards gay people and gay rights? Why don't I not comment or not say anything or don't care or care about gay people in this country? Now, some people can come and plant little seeds inside your mind, of which I would also say is very wrong. Some people say that people that are homophobic are usually homosexual. So if you are at the forefront of, well, we hate gays, we hate them, we hate them. Eh? The hypocrisy behind that is usually that some of these people that are at the forefront of anti-gay protests and movements are usually the ones that are secretly smashing the homosexuals, because the homosexuals usually have straight secret boyfriends and girlfriends. So if we all hate them, then who are they sleeping with? That is one assumption that is not correct, and it's not a fact. It's just an assumption. That's one assumption that goes around. But if you are neither of that one, and you're still here, and you're still listening, and you're still wondering, okay, but yeah, why do I dislike homosexual people? It's not because you dislike homosexual people. You just came from a group that made you believe that homosexuality is bad. It could be a fact, right? Or it could be an idea or a belief. It could be something that we all just planted in your mind, and you ran with it because you were an empty canvas when you came out of your mother's womb, okay? You were an empty canvas. You didn't know what right and wrong is, or you didn't know what society deemed to be correct and deemed to be not correct. You were taught. So it could be that it was a belief. It was the behavior. It was assumptions. It was all put into, it was all the culture, the cultural aspect, the culture of hating homosexuals. So if you go back within your culture, for example, and you look at what homosexuality was seen as within your culture, you can see that it was frowned upon deeply. One, if a boy child was deemed to be a little too soft, right? A little too feminine, a little too flamboyant, we would correctionally correct them and send them off to where? We send them off to Ohambo. I don't know now in other cultures, but usually the boy child goes to Kohambo. Kohambo is like to go and work on the farm. And what happens there on the farm is not that you guys are just there at anti-gay camp, and then you guys are just, no homosexuals, no gay people. You guys are not protesting there. You are working, but you are working and you are living in the footsteps of true men. So you are learning everything that a boy child needs to know, and you are toughening up. That's what happens at Kohambo, guys. That's really honestly what happens. So, my mom the other day was, she brought, I even have to talk to my boss, guys, so that I can send my child. So my child is a sensitive child, and he's really just grown up in the midst of women, to be honest. it's always just been mother, sister, you know, aunties, grandmother. It hasn't really been, he has not had stable masculine figures in his life in the early years of his life because it was just us, right? And so he is expressive and he's sensitive. And he's also very loud and he's flamboyant. So my mother notices these things. I just see a happy child, to be honest. I just see a happy child. And I think that that's the 21st century mother that is looking at her child, because we are most now the woke. But then she's most the 90s kind of girl. So she is on that, yeah, you must just ask. You must ask Tatewa, because us in our family, we must don't have humble things. We're not that dope. You must ask Tatewa if the child can go to him at Kohambo for even just like a month. Because that is what used to happen, when a child was deemed to be a little too soft. Because my child is not a fighter. My child is soft, yes. He's soft. He's the type of child that beats children that are younger than him. But then when children that are his age or older than him come, he doesn't have the backbone to fight. And that's a problem, because now he's just getting beaten up. And now his mother has to go and fight his battles. And that's most not the kind of man that we are looking for. Now his parents, as we go to school, my dear, to go and fight. As we go and intimidate kids, just me and best friend there. Shoot him up. Like, Bobby, we will come through the game. Got us all shook. Doing what you won't do. If you ain't got at least a couple fans, then you ain't cool. That's his parents that are coming to fight his battles. But the thing is that we might die tomorrow. Now who's going to fight his battles? If he cannot stand up to somebody, he can't. So the idea behind it is to send him off to Kohambo so that he can learn how to be tough and learn how to be a man, because that's what happens there. So if we are coming from a culture that doesn't appreciate softness and gentleness and appreciates toughness and being rugged and being straight and being strong as a man, right? Then wouldn't you understand that the way you see a man according to your culture is the reason that you cannot accept homosexuality, because what they represent is a taboo. So you don't hate them per se. You hate what they represent, and that's why you are pressed, and that's why you are bothered. So that's where the hate comes from, because I want us to understand where all the animosity comes from. And if we can understand where the animosity comes from, maybe we can stop ourselves from becoming embarrassing people on the internet. Maybe we can stop ourselves from saying degrading things to other human beings. Maybe we can just learn to keep quiet when we don't agree with somebody else's life choices, right? Instead of beating them down. There's this correctional rape thing that happened, or that still happens in some African countries. In Africa, we are most not supposed to be lesbians. No, we are not supposed to be gay. We are not, because we are supposed to multiply and populate, and we're supposed to continue our DNA. Yeah, one. And now if it's same-sex things, nothing comes from there, you know, like, you can adapt. We can adapt. Adapt other people's children, not your own children, most. Eh? Yeah, but I can carry. Yes, you can carry, but the person will not have your partner's DNA. Like, guys, you can't put two eggs together. You understand? And that is why the Africans are so pressed. Not me. Me, I'm good. Like, as long as you're happy, I'm fine. So, now, what was happening in some African countries, I don't think that it has happened here, or I've not come across a case of this nature here. So what was happening in other African countries is that there was a thing called correctional rape. Correctional rape was happening, right, to get this gay men and lesbian women. So it was people that know lesbians, and then they want to rape you so that they can correct you. because you are deformed. Maybe if you are violated. And I don't know, I don't understand the logic behind it, because violation causes trauma, and trauma causes you from backing, causes you to back away, not to like something. You can't say that like, oh my goodness, I was traumatized by fire and now all I want to do is be inside fire. Nobody know. If anything, we are afraid of fire, right? So now how can you say that it's correctional rape, where you are correcting me, where you are raping me to correct me from being a lesbian, and this activity in itself is not pleasant. This activity in itself is traumatic. But people were being correctionally raped, men and women. Now, what stood out for me is that the gay people were being raped by straight men. Shunga, I'm straight. It's a straight man. I'm just raping him so that he can become straight. Shunga.
Huh? I don't know, man. Kind of sounds sus to me. Kind of sounds suspect. Eh? A straight man is going to go and rape a gay man, so that he's no longer gay. Like, I was like, no guys, you guys just have your hidden sexual fantasies and you guys are trying to say it's something else, you know? And this was what was going on. So at least from this perspective, right? Because we are still talking about the hate comments that we are giving and why do we hate? So the reason that we hate people like homosexuals is because where we come from, our society, it doesn't deem it correct. Now, just because our society doesn't deem it correct, it doesn't mean that it is incorrect. It just means, right, that you and that particular group, the in-group, right? You guys don't approve of the out-group. It doesn't mean that we must set them on fire. It doesn't mean that we must beat them up. It doesn't mean that they must not have a right to life. So understand where the hate is coming from. If you understand where the hate is coming from, then maybe it will stop you, because is it really your belief? Is it really just all you? Or is it something that was planted inside your head and now you can't get it out of your head and now you can't live peacefully, because every time you see a gay person, you know, because you've got goosebumps and now you are hurting and beating up people. Eh? Somebody smiles with you. Hey, I'm not gay, man. Eh? Then you even go to the extent of beating up people's children. Because they smiled with you. But the thing is that we are allowed to be whoever we want to be. We're allowed to say whatever we want to say. As long as, right? And if it does touch your feelings or your ego, then go and make a case and see if it will stand up in court. But stop hurting people, man. Stop hurting people. So they might show hate to defend the way things are and stop change from beginning. Like you guys that are anti-what-what, you know. Like, let us not legalize prostitution. Let's not legalize abortion, you know. You're anti. Because, you know, I don't see any of you guys having a house full of strangers' kids living in your house. And you are taking care of them and you are paying university and all of that. I don't see you guys having orphanages and stuff like that. I still see street children, that are just living out there, but yet you don't want people to abort. But it's not because it's really who you are per se. It could be who you are, but it also comes from somewhere. It comes from maybe your culture, your home, You saw your mother crying every time she found out she's pregnant, she's crying, she doesn't want it. But there was just no means. to get rid of it, and then she had the child. And then sometimes she was happy, you know. Then you are like, yeah, every woman should be like that. People must not abort the kids, because then you saw how beautiful and brilliant your brother came out, and how well he's doing in life, you know. So even if it's a mistake, they must just be born. But yet you guys are not doing anything about the ones that we are having, and they are not being taken care of. It's not really that you don't believe in abortion. It's just because of the place where you came from, right? Doesn't deem it fit, and you are a product of your society. Acting hateful. Acting out of hate, right? Hateful ideas. Acting out of hateful ideas can also help some people be accepted by their peer groups. So you people are pretending to be homophobes, right? So that your friends that are homophobes also, that are most probably also pretending to be homophobes, right? They accept you. It's not even really that. You didn't even grow up in a society that even looked at it. For example, like, I can't even give examples without being tribalist. You didn't even grow up in a society where we frowned upon homosexuality, but now because you have a gang of friends that hate homosexual people, you are also acting out of hate so that you can be accepted by your peer groups, so that all 10 of you guys hate gay people. Not all 9 of them hate gay people, and you don't care. Because sometimes you don't even care about these things, but now you are forced to pretend like you care. They may feel they are getting revenge because they feel attacked. You feel attacked. You feel attacked. We're like, yeah, I just feel like the matriarch is attacking us on that radio. How can she be talking about poor people in that way? She's calling us the poverty, what? She's attacking people. Like, no, it's just because you come from a place where you believe that we shouldn't talk about poverty in the way that we are talking about poverty. And now you feel a personal attack, maybe because you came from poverty, or you have a deep empathy and sympathy towards people that come from poverty. But it's not really because I'm saying anything wrong. It is because you deem it to be inappropriate because of where you come from. I'm just saying. Because if we leave those parts of us behind and we actually hear what is being presented, maybe, just maybe, right? We might actually agree or disagree. Some people do and say hateful things because they are part of a group that is trying to exclude, hurt, or even destroy a group of people. Politicians. Yeah. So this one is for politicians. Now you are wondering, why is the matriarch bashing Snowball political party? Well, I am part of a group that is trying to exclude Snowball from parliament. I'm trying to hurt their reputation. And I'm trying to destroy the whole group, because if I dissolve the whole group, right, I'm at the top of the food chain. It is what it is. That's why I'm doing it. So that's why we do the things that we do. That's why we display the kind of hate that we are displaying. That's why we hate, because we think that we are better than everybody else. And we hate on people because they are better than us, or because they are not better than us, or because of what we ideally think, or where we come from. Because we go back. If we are coming from a place where the behavior that was there and the attitude that we had towards albinos, right, was that of godly attitude, then you might even end up marrying an albino because of the way you grew up. Like what an albino represents within your cultural context, which and so forth. So that one is most now including. Sometimes we exclude by including. Yeah. So next time you say something, especially on the internet where you're so vulnerable, you child, You're so vulnerable. You think that nobody can find you. You think that you're invisible because you're behind a cell phone. Before you go and comment on anything, right? Ask yourself, is this comment that I am giving an opinion, a fact, or hate? Ask yourself that. And if you can still stomach answering yourself after answering all these three questions to yourself, right? Then you can go ahead and comment. But if you don't ask yourself these questions and you go and comment anyways, understand that the universe has a tendency of dishing out consequences. It does. And sometimes the wrath of a person scorned is just that. It's just the wrath of a person scorned. Okay? So, we have officially fast-tracked to almost the end of our conversation. And it's crazy out here. But we're trying. We're trying to keep a good head on our shoulders. And we are trying to not offend anybody. So another example, for example, right, would be, so we have covered basically everything. We've covered our idea. Mm-hmm. So you come from a matriarchal, clan, a matriarchal system, a matriarchal society, and you have this, you are under the impression that men are only for procreation purposes. And right now, you are struggling with every single male-dominated relationship that you are having in your life. I'm talking about your boss. I'm talking about the car guard. I'm talking about the waiter. I'm talking about your colleagues. I'm talking about your relationships. You are struggling. You are struggling with relationships with men in general. You don't notice the relationships with other men out there because they are not the ones that are bedding you. Your biggest complaint, and that's why you are going to church, you are going to onganga, you're going everywhere to get a husband, right? Your problem is where you come from, is the culture in which you come from, right? Your beliefs, your values, your customs, your behaviors. That's the problem. The fact that you come from a matriarchal system that had a woman in power, and before that there were women in power and women in power and women in power, and women were now doing everything that made you hyper-masculine. And hyper-masculinity is bad for a relationship because everybody is supposed to play their roles. We are not in a gay relationship where it's two dudes. It is male and female. It's heterosexual. So at some point you have to step into your feminine energy. And that feminine energy, right, is what makes you attractive, ma'am. So the reason that you're struggling with relationships is because of, I can say, hate culture. So hate culture within your culture, within your structure. So the hate culture was implied when you had to be hyper-masculine. Hyper-masculine is ongwe to soroma, ongwe toka taruno na goskora, ongwe toka vara, ongwe nohoto toka sorha, ongwe toka ningi everything. That's hyper-masculinity where you don't have assistance from a man. And many of our women are living in hyper-masculine phases or lives because we live most in the pandemic of runaway dads. But could it be that runaway dads are caused by a matriarchal culture that came to imply that men are an accessory, not a necessity? And within finding this, we would also find the way we treat the boy child within the matriarchal circle implies that the boy child must be lazy. Most men that come from a matriarchal cycle have a softness And not that we're saying that the softness is bad. We're saying that the softness is there because it's a matriarchal circle. Because we cuddle and we hug and we embrace. We teach strengths, but to a bare minimum. And we can't teach a man how to be a man when we've never been a man. The reason that, you are struggling with romantic relationships with men. You're not a lesbian, ma'am. You are just struggling with your matriarchal culture that you have been brought up in. You're not a lesbian, okay? Don't worry. Like, I know that you're a little confused right now because maybe, like, you're just looking for love at this point, right? Like, oh, you know what? I've been single for so long. Maybe the men don't want me. Maybe I'm a lesbian. You're not a lesbian. You just need to figure out, right, what are some of, the hate cultures that were presented about men that you have carried on into your life as a woman. And that will be the key to what is jeopardizing all your romantic relationships. Because if you figure that out, then you will realize that you were sabotaged. You were sabotaged and you are a sabotage and you need to unlearn, right? A few things. Like one of the things that I know I'm taking up a little bit of time, but one of the few things that I do know about hyper-masculine women is that, we can do it for ourselves, right? We can do it for ourselves is because it's not because you do it the best. It's because there's nobody there to help you. And you have learned to rely on yourself. So if you want a romantic relationship to work with a man, right? You have to allow them to assist you. You have to allow them to help you. You have to let them do what they are supposed to do. And our issue might just be that you don't know what that is. You don't know what that is. And now you're sabotaging every relationship by being a dude yourself. People want women. They don't want other dudes. Because if they wanted other dudes, they could have genetically real dudes. Not this makeshift matriarch dude that is here. So think about it. Let it simmer. That maybe, just maybe, right? The hate that we bring and the hate that we give is a product of our society. It's a product of our environment. And it is up to us as the matriarchs clan to unlearn some of these dilemmas, to unlearn some of these things so that we can do better. From me, the matriarch, the disrespectful child of Eagle FM, the creme de la creme, ultimate drip, cherry on top, icing on the cake, the whole cake, the table where the cake is chilling, and definitely the tiles with the table, the cake, the icing, and the cherry on top are chilling. I bid you guys farewell. In my hyper-masculine voice, okay? Because, you know, been talking for 3 hours.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-372.